ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4. This is a very important verse, both to explain Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement, and all of you, please repeat. Kirata,
Kirata,
Puna,
Puna,
Andhra,
Andhra,
Pulinda,
Pulinda,
Pulkasha,
Pulkasha,
Abira,
Abira,
Shumba,
Shumba,
Yavana,
Yavana,
Kasha,
Kasha,
Adaya,
Adaya,
Yay, Anye,
Anye,
Cha,
Cha,
Papa,
Papa,
Yat,
Yat,
Apashraya,
Apashraya,
Ashraya,
Ashraya,
Shudyanti,
Shudyanti,
Tasmai,
Tasmai,
Prabhavishnave,
Prabhavishnave,
Namaha,
Namaha.
Kiratu Nandra Pulinda Pulkasha,
Kiratu Nandra Pulinda
Pulkasha. You just Shravanam Kirtanam, you listen and then you repeat. Kiratahu Nandra Pulinda Pukasha,
Kiratahu Nandra Pulinda Pukasha,
Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya,
Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya,
Yanye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya,
Yanye Chapapa Yadapashraya,
Shuryanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama,
Shuryanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama.
Translation: Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to the Lord's being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This verse is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in preparation for speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so please repeat the different phrases of this translation. Kirata Huna Andhra.
Kirata Huna Andhra.
Pulinda Pulkasha.
Pulinda Pulkasha.
Abira Shumba.
Abira Shumba.
Yavana.
Yavana.
Members of the Kasa races.
Members of the Kasa races.
And even others.
And even others.
Addicted to sinful acts.
Addicted to sinful acts.
Can be purified.
Can be purified.
by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord,
due to the Lord's
being the supreme power.
I beg to offer my respectful obeisances
unto him.
Unto him.
Now, the purport has a somewhat elaborate description of these different races. I won't read the full description for the sake of time, but you will get the idea. Kirata, generally the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India. And in modern days, the Santal Parganas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Now, we all have a tendency to feel puffed up and think that we are better than others. So when you hear the list of sinful races, you might think, oh, I'm not in that category. I'm better than they are. But that is not the proper mood. And in any case, you might end up getting caught in the last category. So don't feel too superior. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia, is known as the province of the Hunas. Sometimes a kind of hill tribe was known as the Hunas. Andhra, a province in southern India mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. It still exists under the same name. Pulinda. The Mahabharata Adi Parva 174-38 mentions the inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, as it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all these inhabitants of that province were known as the Abhiras. Shumbas, or Kankas. The inhabitants of the Kanka province of Old Bharat, mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. Kasha. The inhabitants of the Kasha Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kashas. As such, the Kashas are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above-mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then, by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled, in following a type of civilization that is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yatkirtana, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So there are some people, I think, any intelligent person I was going to save this till later, but I wish you a happy Mother's Day, and the mothers of crying children should be good mothers and not punish your children by forcing them to endure this awkward situation. But yes, the innocent people are being misguided by the leaders. One could even say exploited by the leaders, political leaders and economic leaders. And the greatest tragedy is not that their material position is being compromised because of the selfish motives of the leaders, but the even bigger tragedy is that they are missing the great opportunity that the human form of life affords to become Krishna conscious and become liberated from the cycle of repeated birth and death and to go back home, back to Godhead. But even in the present life, people are suffering tremendously. They tend to be under tremendous stress. And I've seen everywhere individuals and organizations are offering programs for reducing stress. I've seen just here in Houston in the last 2 days, signboards outside of churches offering people a program by which they can reduce stress, because people have so much stress in the present circumstances. I asked one wise friend recently what he thought was the cause of this intense stress. And he said two things. Greed. That's the first one, greed. We want more and more and more. And there's never enough. And no matter how much we have, we want more and more and more. I've mentioned this before, but I will repeat it because it shows how this anxiety exists on every level. At one time, not so long ago, John Paul Getty was considered the richest man in the world. And a reporter asked him, "Can you tell us in one word what is your philosophy of life?" And he said, "Yes, more." And then the reporter asked him, "You have so much money, you have everything money could buy. When you're alone, when there's no one there to place any demands on you, what do you think about?" And he replied, "I think about how to pay the bills." It's the same. The person out of work is thinking how to pay the bills. the people who are working are thinking of how to pay the bills. And the people who own multinational companies are thinking of how to pay the bills. The size of the bills may be bigger. A small person may have to worry how to pay the rent or a mortgage installment on a small home. A big person may have to make the payments on a big home. And a magnate may have to think of how to pay the bills on to acquire a new company or a subsidiary or swallow up some competitor. But it's the same anxiety, and it's greed. Generally, people are worried about how to pay the bills because they want to possess more than they can afford. So, credit cards. What a huge industry, credit cards. Anyway, so people are in anxiety. They're under stress because of greed. And the other factor that my wise friend mentioned was fear. People who have something are afraid that they will lose it. It can be a simple thing. They go out of the house and they think, oh, did I remember to lock the door? Did I remember to close the window? Or even the car, did I remember to lock the car door? Anxiety. On one morning walk in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada quoted perhaps a Chanakya maxim, but he quoted that money is always a problem. When you don't have money, it's a problem. Then to get money is a problem. And when you have money, to keep it is a problem. And when you lose it, that's another problem. So at every stage, it is problematic. But people tend to be absorbed in this pursuit of getting money and keeping it, protecting it, and increasing it. And they cannot remember the goal of life. They cannot remember their actual identities as spiritual souls. They cannot remember Krishna, and love of Krishna, which is the supreme treasure, which can fulfill all of our desires, then we don't want more. There is one devotee of Krishna, mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, named Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom, and pretty much everyone does. He said a man's home is his castle, everyone wants his kingdom. So he was advised to go to the forest and find God, that God could give him the kingdom that he sought. And that is true. God can give us anything. He can also take away anything. And therefore it's useless to try to fight the will of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to quote that if God with his 10 hands wants to give you something, how much can you hold with your 2 hands? And if God with his 10 hands wants to take something away from you, how much can you keep with your 2 hands? So ultimately we depend on the sweet will of the Lord for everything. So Dhruva's mother, yes, Dhruva's mother advised him that I do not know who can help you fulfill your desire for the kingdom, but I think only God can help you. And Dhruva was only 5 years old. He said, well, where can I find God? And she said, well, maybe in the forest. Many sages and saintly persons go to the forest to find God. So he went as a 5-year-old boy, and he was very sincerely looking for God, but in the way of a 5-year-old child, looking in the bushes, looking behind the rocks, looking under the logs, looking in the trees. But God, or Krishna, who is in everyone's heart, knew the sincerity of Dhruva, that this boy really wants to find me. And so he sent a spiritual master, Krishna, from within the heart of Narada Muni, sent Narada to guide Dhruva. And Narada saw this 5-year-old boy, like, so serious about his kingdom. He said, Dhruva, you're just a child of 5 years. You should be playing with other children. You shouldn't take such things so seriously at such a young age. And Dhruva had that kshatriya spirit, feisty spirit. He said, if you can help me find God, I will be very happy. But if you want to tell me to go home, then you can go home. So then Narada understood this boy is extremely determined. In a way, he passed Narada's test, because our sincerity is always tested. And so then he instructed him to chant a mantra, like we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and perform some austerities. And Dhruva followed the instructions of Narada exactly. And as a result, he became so powerful spiritually that the Lord himself came. His desire to see the Lord was fulfilled, and the Lord came. And Dhruva was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, and he offered many beautiful prayers to the Lord by the grace of the Lord. And at the end, the Lord asked him if he wanted any benediction. And Rupa said, no. And the Lord said, but what about your kingdom? You came to the forest and performed austerities for the sake of a kingdom. What about your kingdom? And Dhruva replied, Swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. That kingdom that I was looking for, and that wasn't a small kingdom like a man's house or even today's modern nation states. He said, that kingdom that I was seeking is like a piece of broken glass. And now I have found a most precious jewel. So I am fully satisfied. I do not want any benediction. Now, do any of today's leaders, political leaders, economic leaders, social leaders, say, I am fully satisfied? No, not one of them says it. They always want more. More votes, more money, more followers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Nadanam, Najanam, Basundari. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want to enjoy beautiful women. But they are the opposite. Give me wealth. Give me followers. So, that means that Krishna or Krishna consciousness alone can satisfy a person. And when he's satisfied, then no more anxiety, no more hankering, no more lamenting, no more, more. He's satisfied. And nothing can take it away from him. You can lose your money, you can lose your following, you can lose your spouse, but you can't lose your Krishna consciousness. Unless you choose to, but no one can take it away from you. And no force can take it away from you. You can't lose it. So this is the great treasure that the Krishna consciousness movement offers, and that is why Srila Prabhupada formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give guidance to the leaders of the world how to conduct the affairs of state so the people can become satisfied, happy, and satisfied. Now, I'm giving a big talk here, but I also want more time because we have more to discuss, because there's more in the purport. Anyway, out of respect to Srila Prabhupada, we will continue reading. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. A Vaishnav, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental even to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or Varnashram Dharma is no longer regular even among the so-called followers of the system. In India, one of the political leaders, Jai Prakash Narayan, he organized a big gathering. Lakhs of people. They have these gatherings in India, lakhs of people. And he was protesting the caste system because anything can be misused because of that tendency of conditioned souls to exploit others. So people in higher castes, they're actually meant to guide and protect others, but they can misuse their position to exploit others. So in protest of the artificial domination of the Brahmin caste, he held a big gathering attended by lakhs of people, Brahmins, and they all came forward and took off their Brahmin threads, put them in a fire, and all their Brahmin threads were burned in flames. And Prabhupada said, good. They are admitting they're all sutras. So that is the point here, that hardly anyone is genuine Brahmin. They might be born as Brahmins, but even among the so-called followers of the Varnashram system, it is not regular. That means everyone is fallen. But everyone can be delivered by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord and receiving instructions on who they are, what the goal of life is, and how to achieve the goal. And in fact, a Vaishnava can be considered in terms of how he is able to deliver the fallen soul. There is so much to discuss, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a description of the Chaitanya tree. Lord Chaitanya is compared to a gardener who is cultivating this tree, and he's also compared to the tree itself. And the tree has different limbs and branches and sub-branches, twigs, leaves. So in the description of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, it is mentioned that they are the biggest branch. They're the biggest branch, and they are considered the best of all. And why are they considered the best of all? It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita twice. Paschim Desh, because they delivered people from Paschim Desh, from Western countries. And in those days, Paschim Desh referred to the western part of India. Maharashtra, Gujarat, Rajasthan. And it is said that as one goes west from Mayapur, from the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people become more and more fallen. So Rupa and Sanatan were considered the best because they had delivered people from the Paschim Desh. Western India.
So, what can we say about Srila Prabhupada, who crossed the ocean and delivered people from here, from the Western Europe, America, at Paschimotta? And if you keep going further across the next ocean, you come to Kashadesh, China. So to deliver people in the Paschimotta is not an ordinary feat. We might take it for granted because somehow, you know, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada's efforts, it's happened. But it wasn't always like that, by any means. And to cause that to happen is practically, not practically a superhuman feat, it is a superhuman feat. And now it's increasing all over the world. As a regular practice, as far as possible, I speak with His Holiness Giridhari Swami every week. And for almost the last month, he has been in China having retreats, like 5-day retreats, very intense chanting and hearing about Krishna, satsang. In China, and by Krishna's grace, he's able to do it, and the people are able to take it up, and nobody has disturbed them so far. This is miraculous. This is never done before, and no one could do it. Other than Srila Prabhupada, now his followers are continuing that extension of potent mercy. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the archana, deity worship, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple. Similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnav changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. So some people, even in India, I met so many people, they said about Prabhupada's followers, about us, you are not Brahmins. You are not Brahmins because you are not born Brahmins. You may be Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas may be greater than Brahmins, but you're not Brahmins. You have to wait till your next life to take birth to be called Brahmins. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, and it is a Vedic injunction, that one should not see the deity as being made of stone. You can say, well, the deity is just stone. I saw it. I saw it in Makrana. I went and got the marble myself. It's just stones. But when that stone is carved in Jaipur or wherever, and the deity is installed by the Acharya, that deity, that Archamurti, is no longer stone, but it is Krishna.
Radha and Krishna. And to think of that deity as stone is an offense. Naraki, someone who thinks that the deity is stone, has a hellish mentality. So in the same way, when an acharya accepts a disciple from any community, even these Kasha, Andhra, Yavana, their body changes. There's a verse to that effect, Dikshakale, that the time of initiation, their body changes. And just as it's an offense to think of the deity as stone, it's an offense to think of a devotee as belonging to a particular caste or community. That is, well, here it is. That's what I was quoting. The injunction of Vaishnav regulation in this connection runs as follows. Arche Vishnu Shivadir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jata Bhuti Sri Vishnur Namne Shabda Samanya Bhuti. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol or mere statue. Nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man. Nor should one consider a pure Vaishnav to belong to a particular caste or community. Padma Puranga. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites. Who can give one example of a devotee that Lord Chaitanya accepted? Yes, Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family. And he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. Yes, sarvopadi vinir muktam. To engage in devotional service, one must be free from these designations. I am American, I'm Indian, I'm Chinese, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm Brahman, I'm Kshatriya, Vaishya, Grihastha, Brahmachari. We have to let go of all of these designations and then go to Bhartu Padakamalai or Dasa Dasa Anu Das. Since we have a few minutes, I will read one small section to illustrate the principle in the verse that we just read and discussed. And in this also, Srila Prabhupada explains the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And everyone here is benefiting from their association with the society, and we hope identifies with the work of the society and considers its, that you consider yourself part of this mission, to make this happen. So this is, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 13.
Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Chandra.
Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Chandra.
Jaya Dwait Chandra Jaya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dwait Chandra Jaya Jaya Nityananda.
All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Gadadhar Prabhu. All glories to Srinivasacharya Prabhu. All glories to Mukunda Prabhu and Vasudev Prabhu. All glories to Haridas Thakur. Jaya Damodara Swarupa Jaya Murari Gupta.
Ae
Sabha Chandra Daya Tama Kaila Lupta. All glories to Swarup Damodar and Murari Gupta. All these brilliant moons have together dissipated the darkness of this material world. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandra Bhakta Chandra Gana. Sabara Prema Jyotsnaya.
Sabara Prema Jyotsnaya.
Ujvala Tribhuvana.
Ujvala Tribhuvana.
All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse we find the moon described as Chandragana, which is plural in number. This indicates that there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Among the stars, I am the moon. Bhagavad Gita 10:21. All the stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns, but Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. That's another topic. And it's a worthy topic of discussion, because people have become so influenced. You're talking about the propaganda, you know, political leaders, also scientific leaders. But there's a lot to be said for the Vedic version. It's not so simple that, in school they taught us that all the stars are suns, and I believe that it's not so simple. But still, we won't discuss that now. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moons reflect the sunshine and therefore look brilliant. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the Supreme Sun. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Yara Adhikar. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or meshness. So we don't have to worry about driving away darkness. We just have to go in the sun. So when we come to the sun of Krishna consciousness, to the light of Krishna consciousness, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of sinful activities, automatically goes away. So Rangan Thakur is motioning, please come forward to make room. There are a lot of people standing outside. Tamasi Man, Jyotir Gama, come out of the darkness into the light. But quietly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Krishna
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So we are almost at the conclusion. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. C.C. Madhya 22:31. Similarly, this verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons, brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world will be illuminated despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. It's the same idea that the devotees of the Lord, imbued with the power of the Lord, can travel all over the world and deliver people from all countries. Srila Prabhupada did that. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, the ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, that's all of you, all of us, all of you, we therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement may reflect the Supreme Sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada
Ki Jai.